pork chops, and so many others. Call today because Spiro's is not jamming people in. They want you and your friends to enjoy great food, ample space, and easy parking. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. Call today to make your reservation at 636-916-1454.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
There are those who've had tax troubles with the IRS and those who will have tax troubles with the IRS. There are those who will go to Lance Drury Law Firm and get the best advice possible. And there are those who will be at the mercy of the IRS. I encourage you to do what I did. I called Lance Drury. Within days, he was laying out a plan that was going to satisfy the IRS and save me a lot of money. Lance Drury's expertise is built on decades of experience. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. So when battling the IRS, don't do it by yourself. Make sure you get the best in the business on your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Doug, this is Adam.
Hello, Adam. We'll give a shout-out to Salt and Smoke right now.
Cheese Pizza.
You're going to find him on 6525 Delmar Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri.
The guy from the Wonder Years.
Tom Schmidt's the owner.
Buzz.
You can call the establishment at 314-727-0200.
Yeah, I'm basically a home alone expert.
Other than that, I'm in good shape.
The Home Loan Expert.
But I don't need to make a big deal about it.
I'm handsome.
Just love me.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal, so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Ma.
Can't you hear a bit of a pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet.
I never heard this song.
On the sunny side of the street, I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Well, boss, I'm back from my vacation.
You didn't happen to run into your brains while you were out there, did you?
No, but I wasn't really looking.
Crossed over, if I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
This is pretty funny. Bill Cleveland, who, by the way, came in second, just sent me a text. You know what it says?
What?
Mug. He couldn't do it in person, so he texted. Bill, he missed it by 30 seconds.
Yeah.
by 30 seconds. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the December 18th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Has there ever been anybody in your life that you remembered their birthday for some reason? And there's no reason you should have. I used to work for a guy, and his birthday was December 18th. Now, we haven't spoken for years. I used to call him on his birthday. After I worked for him, I would call him. But he never called me for anything, so I just quit because it was a one-way street. And I thought, I'd go, hey, happy birthday. Thanks. And he didn't say, I can't believe you remember my birthday after all these. So I just quit doing it.
Right.
And I don't. There are two other birthdays, and I know that there's somebody I know, but I don't know who they go with. You know, one is like an August, one's January. But I remember for some reason, and it probably girls, because when you're, you know, in high school or stuff, you make a point to remember stuff like that. And it stuck for some reason.
I remember two guys that I grew up with.
Corky Corzai?
No, Bark Brown, whose birthday's on Groundhog's Day.
That's easy.
And then Kirk Corzai, Corky's brother.
Ah.
His birthday is on October 4th, so I remember it because of the 4th.
That's a good story.
Yeah. Now, Limey, I'm going to make a dollar bet with you.
Okay.
I'll make a dollar bet with you right now that in 30 seconds, Frank cannot rattle off the birthdays of his wife and three children. Will you take my bet?
My wife's birthday is February 5th,
Mississippi.
15th. Mississippi. My daughter's birthday, you know, just the date of the year, is May 23rd. My son's birthday is September 29th and February 21st. The years are 1980, 83, and 88.
You got to say them all together.
Oh. 15, Mississippi, 16, Mississippi, 17, Mississippi, 18. March 23rd, 1980. February 21st, 1980.
23, Mississippi.
Oh, no.
Mississippi,
shoot.
25, Mississippi. 26, Frank. Mississippi. 27, Mississippi.
Frank.
28, Mississippi.
I messed it up. I've actually messed it up. It's the pressure.
Pay up, sucker. Pay up.
The pressure.
I never actually took that bet. But, wow.
You actually forgot.
You didn't take the bet, but you ran the he didn't get it right sound effect, but you didn't take the bet?
Well, yeah, because he lost.
I think if you run the sound effect, that means you took the bet.
For which one?
80, 83,
come on,
80,
man, you can get this.
Let's start over. No pressure. Go, take your time.
Yeah, 80, 83, and 88. Those are the years. I had that right.
Okay,
I just
right.
Didn't attach them to the date.
The birthday's
May 23rd, 88. That's my daughter.
One.
Okay. February 21st, 83 is my second son.
Mm-hmm.
September 29th, 80, is my older son. There.
And your wife?
February 15th, 1952.
Got it.
Bingo!
80. Ooh, nailed it. 29 seconds. You win. You win, Lionel.
Adam was born in 1980?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's 38.
Yeah.
That makes me very, very old because we didn't have kids till we'd been married 10 years because we didn't have sex for 10 years.
Right.
My wife saved herself till the 10th year of marriage.
Saved herself. Oh, I wouldn't say it.
And then after that, how many years after that then? It was, what, three?
Then we had sex 3 years later, and then we had sex 5 years after that.
Yeah.
And here we are with three kids. So welcome. I think I said that. And we got a new listener today. Her name is Tammy. And she's out there right now listening for the very first time. And that's sad because her dad, Marty, is a huge listener and has been for like, you know, 35 years.
Does she look like Jennifer McCarthy's Tammy?
Better.
Oh.
I thought it was 75 years.
No, that was a joke. We were just doing that. But no, she looks better than Jenny McCarthy, and she's listening for the very first time.
I say
she'll like it, and she'll be a listener every day.
I meant Melissa McCarthy. That's who played Tammy.
Yes, Tim. She's better looking than Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Did you ever see Tammy?
Yes.
With Melissa McCarthy?
That, yeah.
That's a really funny movie.
No. It is, actually. Yeah.
I avoid Melissa McCarthy because I got tired of her kicking everybody around and being the loudmouth bully girl. You know, that where she goes, you want some of this?
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell me about your new listener. I apologize.
No, that's all there was. Okay. She just today, right now, she's listening for the first time. I say she will be a regular listener for as long as we do this.
So you had lunch today with a guy who's listened to you for 40 years, but you want to talk about the woman that he brought to the meal?
It's his daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. She's really, really pretty.
Okay. So we won't mention his name, who's been listening for 50 years?
No. Okay. Marty. That's his name. Okay. Irrelevant. Who cares?
Right.
So, here we are. We have two more days after today. Here's what's going to happen in the Playhouse joke. Folks, every year there are three Christmas jokes that I tell the 3 days before we go off the air for Christmas. So that would be today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Every year, same three jokes. Today it's a Santa joke. Yesterday, if you remember, I added a joke, and it was the gloves and panties joke. That's not really part of the three. Today is the first of the three. And today's joke is about Santa coming down the chimney and having trouble getting back up the chimney. That's all I'll tell you. So that's coming today. Tomorrow is a Santa joke about Rudolph and the sleigh. And then the very last day is the joke I always tell the last time we're together before Christmas. And it's the guy who's in the strange town driving through. Dan, it's the nativity scene.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And what's interesting, and one of the things that we talked about at lunch, because I had lunch with Marty, because he's a longtime listener, was how and why I can remember jokes. Not only does the nativity, you know, wise men joke, not only has it been told by me for 20 years, I remember who told it to me probably 25 years ago. And I can't explain that. I think it's because when somebody tells me a joke I don't know, it's such a big deal that I want to remember to give credit to the person who told it. We have a thing called the Burke segment, Tammy, and it's nothing more than just kicking around whatever happened to us in the last 24 hours. Anything we saw, we did, we encountered. Does anybody have anything to say?
I kind of do.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the man with the British accent, Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips, what do you got there?
Well, I brought in some cookies today for everybody.
That's a good story.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I found out why Dan Strauss will not eat anything red velvet. And I would just like him to kind of share it with us, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because
we'd love to hear it. You know, I didn't think I'd like red velvet cake, but it doesn't taste red. There's no such thing.
Would you like half a red velvet cookie?
No,
with
because
white
I'm
chocolate
fat.
Chips?
No, all I'm right. already fat enough. I gained some weight back. No, but you'd think it looks kind of disgusting. Some red velvet cake looks horrible.
Really?
But it's not a taste. There's no taste of red. It's good. So, Dan, why don't you eat red velvet?
Well, I refuse to eat
it. I'm guessing it reminds you of something or something happened.
It reminds me of something, and something did happen with the red velvet.
You realize you just went into Sammy Davis Jr.? You sounded
did
like
I?
Sammy. Yeah, just now.
Hey, babe. Thank you, cats, man. Yeah. I have three nieces, and they...
Good story.
My ex. My, no,
good story. And no hesitation, no stumbling.
Yeah.
Well, and this man teaches broadcasting.
You'll see why I'm kind of hesitating. Oh, my former sister-in-law, who is their mother.
I'm already confused.
She, the three girls, and every time when they got to be about 12, 13 years old, and they started. They started their periods.
Oh, come on.
For the very first time.
Tammy, I'm so sorry. This is your first day. I'm so sorry.
And she would celebrate that by making a red velvet cake.
The mom?
Yes.
There's something sick about that.
So.
There just is. That's sick. Look at Tammy. He's about to pass out.
No.
So. I won't eat anything associated with red velvet. Red velvet cake.
Tim, you look like your hands are going to explode.
Or anything.
Let me tell you something. In my 15 years in minor league hockey, twice we had a female fan banned from attending our games. One was a stalker situation, and the other one in 1992, and I swear my grandma's grave, this girl, we went on a road trip, and she brought the players out. It wasn't a red velvet cake, but it was some type of dark spongy cake.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the players shared it. It was like food for the road trip. We're getting ready to go on a 15-hour bus trip. And she confided to her girlfriends that she was practicing witchcraft and that she had taken a drop of blood from her menstrual cycle and mixed it in with the cake.
Gross, man.
I'm not kidding. Hey, they found it out and they banned her from ever attending our games again.
Oh.
And they kicked her out of they kicked her out of the booster club.
Damn, that beats your story.
Oh, man.
I put the velvet and red velvet there, but you know, I remember I specifically remember the story because I didn't eat a piece of the cake because I didn't think I would like it. I'm a chocolate.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd like the spongy kind of, you know. Yeah. But that's what she said.
But do you think she did it, or think she just said she did it?
I don't know. But
I think she did it.
Well, just the fact that she confessed to it is enough to.
Yeah. Why would you confess to that if you didn't do it?
And if she's saying that she's practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
So after that, did you notice, did you get the cramps every month?
No, but yeah. A couple of the boys took a broom home after we got back from the road trip. They just flew right home on their broom. No, I'm kidding about that part, but that first part's true.
All right, wow. Check this out. Right. This is from, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm going to find it because I saved this.
Did you start?
No. Oh. Hang on. This is an interesting.
Here it is.
Listen to this. This is in Davis, California, wherever that is. This is from the police records of Davis Police Department. There were a couple of girls who brought in homemade sugar cookies. I think this might have been for Thanksgiving. And they shared them with the students at school. Which, by the way, a lot of schools now, they won't let kids, you know, bring their cookies from home. Because they haven't been screened. It's got to be wrapped and packaged.
It has to be store-bought.
And in the package.
Unopened, yeah.
But in this case, apparently the school allowed, I think it's a private school. So they brought in these cookies. And one of the students, and the other was a co-conspirator, took her grandfather's ashes from the urn and baked them into the cookies.
These
kids were eating her grandpa. They were like,
that's...
Now, they said the students didn't complain and nobody got sick, and I guess they're sterile, you know, they're ashes. And here's the best part. The police say these kids weren't charged with anything because they don't know what to charge them with. What would you charge them with? Eating your grandfather? Right. I mean, there's no crime here.
Could it possibly?
It wasn't a contaminant. It wasn't toxic. It didn't poison anybody.
It's not desecration either because there's no body.
Mm. Yeah. It says, here's the quote. It says, the criminality of the case is difficult to determine since it's so unconventional. They don't know what category to put an end to charge. So they just didn't do anything.
If there's no law, you can't break it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I guess so. And no kids really complained or got sick. Some of them, I'm sure, said, well, that's gross. I can't believe they did that. But it was a non-event. But they ate this kid's grandpa.
So basically, they were just ash holes.
Pretty good. Yeah. Good. Anybody else for the Burke segment?
I have something.
Ladies and gentlemen, look who's here, Dan Strauss.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I shared my Red Velvet story, but did you see that Penny Marshall died today?
No.
Yeah.
Somebody else just died. My goodness. When you said that, I just saw where I just... Oh, you know who? Scott St. James died.
Oh, he did. Wow.
Scott St. James used to work with us at the old station.
Scott and he St. worked James all, died?
76. 76, he died in like a nursing home facility.
Oh.
Yeah.
The one that used to, I'm going to make you a star, and you a star.
In the 70s, this guy was pretty big in St. Mm-hmm. Louis, and he DJed at a place called Jericho's in Westport. It was a disco kind of thing.
Wow, yes.
And Scott St. James, rest in peace, was an interesting character, because like Dan said, when he came into the old station to work, he walked in our studio before we went in there, he says... And he had one of those radio voices. He says, I'm going to make everybody here a star. Well, that didn't happen. Okay. He said a lot of things that didn't happen. He was a dreamer. Would you say Scott St. James was a dreamer? He was a guy who...
He was interesting.
Yeah, he was interesting. And he had these delusions of grandeur. Like he's written a movie and he's going to hire these big stars to be in. Well, one of them died, David Carradine. That didn't happen.
The Reno Brothers, wasn't it?
And so one day Scott brings up Robert Conrad on the phone. Now, Robert Conrad used to star in a series called The Wild Wild West. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He also did the battery commercials, Knock This Off My Shoulder, and a Duracell or an Energizer. Basically, short guy, but a good-looking guy. And Robert Conrad, at one time, was a pretty big name, big, you know, movie, TV name. And what was funny was Scott gets him on the phone. He has no idea who Scott is. Scott's built up like Bob Conrad is going to be the lead in my movie. You could tell the guy had no idea who Scott was. It was hilarious. And Scott would come in the station. This is, I guess, in a way, not a tribute to Scott because I didn't know him well enough, but I've said before, the world needs characters. I think Tim Woodburn is a character. He's a character. Dan's a character. Limey, you're a character. There's something about you that sets you apart from just the average person. But everybody has that. Not everybody displays it. Not everybody lets you know their character. Scott St. James was a character, and the world needs characters. And he's one of those guys who I believe always thought he was just about to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is it. The break is coming. I got a part in a movie. Well, Scott St. James was probably in 10 movies for 10 seconds each. But if you go look him up, this movie, wow, it's pretty impressive. No, it's not. He got $300 and, they said, walk over here and walk over here. Thank you. You're done. But he was a guy who told us all that he had the power to make us stars. It didn't happen. He also was a guy who, and Dan saw this, he would come in, we went on the air at 3. Scott, when was he on the air? He was on after us?
No, he was on before us, but he would be on
he'd get there 9
7, or 10, I think.
But yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. He would be on at 9 or 10, but many mornings he told me he got up at 4.
Yeah.
And he'd come into the station, and he would type every single thing he said
every
for his
word.
Show, including... Good morning, I'm Scott St. James. That was typed mm-hmm. out. We saw it. We saw his typewriter. Hello, I'm Scott St. James. He wrote everything he said.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the opposite of the show. Yeah, he used the typewriter. But he was a character. And there aren't enough characters. If the world just had characters and you let everybody know what made you a character, what made you different, I think it'd be very entertaining. So rest in peace. Holy cow, 76, and he must have gone downhill or something because they there was something strange. They mentioned in the article that at his side was his 40-year best friend and caregiver.
Huh. 40-year
Does that
best
mean
friend
he was gay?
Caregiver.
Was he gay? You think?
I don't know.
But did he say what sex the caregiver was?
Yes, man.
Oh.
But you know, Scott didn't need a caregiver for 40 years. When he worked with us, he was perfectly healthy.
Yeah, he walked.
In the morning, like 3
walked.
O'clock in the morning, he walked to the station
yeah,
for like an hour in the middle of the night. So when they described this guy who filed a report that he had died, and they said he was Scott's best friend mm-hmm. and lived,
caregiver?
I think lived with him and was his caregiver for 40 years. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's a problem, but there you go.
Well, that's weird. James. Penny Marshall was 75, and she was... I mean, that's not that old.
Now, this is cruel, but Penny Marshall,
oh,
no one could describe as attractive.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She was, unfortunately, not blessed with great looks, but she didn't need them because her dad was, I believe, Gary Marshall.
Yes, he was.
He produced Laverne and Shirley. Penny Marshall was she Laverne or Shirley?
She was Laverne.
And Cindy Williams was Shirley. I didn't know she died. Was she 80? How old was she?
75.
Mm-hmm.
Too young.
Mm-hmm.
Too young. And I'm sorry, that's horrible when you talk about somebody and then you have to throw in their looks. But sometimes you can't help. Like if you mention, who's the Supreme Court? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, if you mention her, you almost have to say, whew, but her face. Mm. I mean... Whoa, Janet Reno, same thing. You can't help it. It's part of what makes them memorable.
And that was a spinoff. Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff of
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember Lenny and Squiggy?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Happy Days, has there ever been a child star who was cuter than Opie and grew up to be worse looking than Ron Howard? I mean, Ron, he's not cute. He didn't retain his looks at all. Limey, did you ever watch Andy Griffith?
Yeah. I would argue Macaulay Culkin. He started off as this cute little kid, and now he looks...
I saw him recently. Yeah, he looks like he just came out of mental institution.
Not healthy looking.
He's not healthy looking. No. And as a kid, he had those dark things under his eyes. Mm-hmm. He looked like he had like leukemia or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, there are people... Now, I will tell you who kept her look. Shirley Temple. Did you see her as an older woman? She looked like an older version of Shirley Temple. She still had that little cute, good ship lollipop kind of look to her. And as long as we're talking about that, it just hit me. Christmas idea. Buy a couple of Shirley Temple movies if there are any kids in your family, because the whole family, one, if you never have seen Shirley Temple, mm-hmm. you will be blown away. There has never been a child star to come close to Shirley Temple. You can buy a collection for next to nothing of Shirley Temple movies, and the whole family will love them. And when she scrunch up her face, it's great, man. And so are the Little Rascals. That's another one. They remade The Little Rascals.
I got to see that one in the
10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You wouldn't think it would be, but they nailed it.
Oh, and someone just called and said that Gary Marshall was Penny Marshall's brother.
Okay, they're right. Brother. Yeah. But yeah, Little Rascals. Mm-hmm. Either the older ones or new. Write this down, folks. These are great ideas. These are great Christmas gift ideas. Anybody else for the Burke segment? That's it. Shut her down. Burke segment closed. I'm going to take a moment, sell a car or two, and then we'll take a quick break. There's some traffic. We come back. We'll take your calls. It's Christmas. We don't care what you want to talk about. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. There is a car dealership up in North County that has been in the same location since 1960. Real quickly, how many years is that? Go, fly me. 1960.
58 years.
Time's up.
58.
I believe that's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, 58 years.
Thank you.
Same location for 58 years.
Since 19 what?
60.
Oh. 60.
Huh? Opened by John Londoff Sr., Johnny's dad. A Marine, a good salesman, movie star looks, and those genes, except for the movie star looks, were passed on to John Londoff Jr. He got the sales gene. He got the ability to chat it up and tell a story. Looks department, say Mr. Londoff Sr. was like a 9 on a 1 to 10. I'm not going to give John a number. What would you give him, Limey? You've met him.
I am
not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not answering that. No.
Smart. Very smart. Nah, he's a nice-looking guy. I'm not gay or anything, but he's a good-looking guy. More important than that, he knows how to run a car dealership, and he knows how to treat people, and so do his people. You see, it's one thing for the guy at the top to know how to run a business and know how to treat customers. The trick is training your employees to treat people like that, or acquiring and hiring people who already know how to treat people. Because that is, to me, the secret to success. The reason that you fail or succeed in lots of businesses is the way you treat people. If you have a restaurant and you have pretty good food, but the service is crap and people are treated rudely, nobody's coming back. You can have a restaurant with mediocre food, but if the service is great and when you walk in you feel like a friend and they remember you, you'll go back. Same thing with the car business, same thing with any business. So my point is this. If you're one of those people who does not like the idea of having to go car shopping, then you've never been here. You couldn't have been. Or you wouldn't be able to say that. You'd be able to say that prior to Londoff, I didn't like the experience. You give them a shot at your business, you will have found your dealership for your next car and the car after that. And your spouse's car, your kids' cars, your parents' cars, because you'll talk them up. Word of mouth is still the most effective form of advertising. And that's what Londoff's customers deliver to their neighbors, to people they work with. They tell them what a great deal they got, what a great experience it was. The experience and the way they're treated is actually more important than the deal, because the deal is pretty good a lot of places. Nobody's going to beat their deal. They're not. So knowing you can't get a better deal anywhere else, knowing you're going to be treated like you should be treated, why in the world would you not include them when you're shopping? I know you will, and I know you'll tell them your AM and the PM. That's important. Johnny Londoff, Chevrolet by the low overhead way, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, or 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Let's get a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by O'Charley's Restaurant and Bar. What a mess in South County this afternoon. That hazmat situation continues on northbound 270 at 55. The two right lanes and partial on-ramp from 55 are blocked. Crews also working accidents in the same area. Southbound 270 north of 44. Southbound 270 before 55. Southbound 55 at Butler Hill. And northbound 55 north of Butler Hill. Also consider Lindbergh or 141 as alternates. Now you have an even easier option to get your favorite O'Charley's meals to go with their new online ordering. The food you crave is just a few clicks away. Order at O'Charley's.com for your next lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn, celebrating 10 years of being a PI with a new book, Bad Mood, Good Mood. 50 hilarious and true stories of the life of a PI. A great $15 stocking stuffer, or send someone an ebook version or an audiobook version for just 10 bucks. Check it out online, badmoodgoodmood.com. First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had beef tenderloin with a tangy Greek sauce sliced into juicy medallions that are so tender you can eat them with a butter knife? It's called the Pepper Loin, and that's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week, and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
TMA Live will be at Hot Shots in Fenton on December 20th. For this event, we have teamed up with Hot Shots for a holiday toy drive to benefit friends of kids with cancer. Anyone who comes to the Hot Shots in Fenton that day and makes a cash or toy donation will receive a coupon for a free Hot Shots appetizer as a small way of saying thank you. Plus, there will be a raffle for Blues tickets and Anheuser-Busch swag bag. Come out and enjoy great specials on Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. That's this month's TMA Live at Hot Shots in Fenton on December 20th.
When you want to watch the game, head to Kirkwood Brewhouse. Kirkwood Brewhouse has 14 humongous screen TVs, so you won't miss a minute of the Blues game, NFL game, or college football game, exclusively featuring ice-cold Missouri craft beers. Kirkwood Brewhouse is your hangout this sports season.
The credit card companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars creating ways to keep you further in debt. Pay it all off today in 5 minutes with our cash-out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com, and you'll even skip 2 full months of mortgage payments. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So very nice.
But I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right now.
I think, and I hope I'm right, that most of the world is laughing at the suggested boycott of the original song, Baby It's Cold Outside, because it's beyond stupid. I read an article yesterday where somebody broke down the song, the original song, Baby It's Cold, they broke it down line by line. And it's not at all about date rape or Bill Cosby and somebody. It's all about her making her own choices. And if you listen to the words of the song, she is the one who's like, well, you know, maybe I can say, there's nowhere in there. It's stupid. The world has gone stupid. Now, I got an email today from a woman that I've known. There are a lot of women in my life. I'll just say it. Women find me attractive.
What?
In my mind. And she sent me this song. I'm going to play it for you. I've never heard of these. Have you ever? Anybody ever heard of Browser and Blue?
No.
They're two guys that, like, Smothers Brothers kind of. One's got a guitar. They've done a song. What's it called? It's called The Colorectal Surgeon.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll just play. Here are, I don't know who they are. Thank you, Dawn, for sending me this. Here are Browser and Blue with The Colorectal Surgeon.
We praise the colorectal surgeon, misunderstood and much maligned, slaving away in the heart of darkness, working where the sun don't shine. Respect the colorectal surgeon, it's a calling few would crave. Lift up your hands and join us, let's all do the finger wave. When it comes to spreading joy, there are many techniques. Some spread joy to the world, and others just spread cheeks. Some may think the cardiologist is their best friend, but the colorectal surgeon knows he'll get you in the end. Why be a colorectal surgeon? It's one of those mysterious things. Is it because in that profession there are always openings? When I first met a colorectal surgeon, he did not quite understand. I said, hey, it's nice to meet you, but do you mind if we don't shake hands? He sailed right through medical school because he was a whiz, but he never thought of psychology when he read passages. A doctor he wanted to be, for golf he loved to play. But this is not quite what he meant by 18 holes a day. Respect the colorectal surgeon here and now. We'll raise a glass for the rectal surgeon. Like the rectum can tell a liquid from a gas. We praise the colorectal surgeon, misunderstood and much maligned, slaving away in the heart of darkness, working where the sun don't shine.
Yeah! Thank you, Dawn, for sending me that. Before everybody emails me, go, hey, we're going to find that colorectal surgeon. Just go to YouTube. And I think, Limey, if they just type in colorectal surgeon, it'll come up.
It shows up instantly.
Yeah. I don't think there are too many other songs called the colorectal surgeon.
Florissant Marv called.
Never earlier. Heard of him. Who's that?
Yeah, he's been a listener forever and ever. And he asked me about looking up a song, All I Want for Christmas, not the one by Mariah Carey. Isn't that the one by Mariah Carey?
All I want for Christmas is you.
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about All I Want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
No. This is another one.
Checking on it.
But he thought it was Vince Vaughn, but it's Vince Vance. And the
what's the name? All I Want for Christmas is You, Vince Vance. Yeah,
there it is.
Vince Vance.
Is it funny?
And no. It's not funny. It's actually really good.
Vince Vance and the Valiant.
All right, so Marv thinks he can just call here. And was the all request show? What do you think this is?
Yeah. Bing bong, all requests. Hi.
Well, Marv, you got a lot of nerve.
How are you?
And you need to know, Marv, we don't do that. You know, we just don't do it. I'm sorry, but okay, we'll do it. Because you've listened forever.
Yeah.
But if it's not good, Marv, we're cutting it off. Do you know Slimy? Do you, anybody know this song?
I listened to a little bit of it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, hey, it's Christmas. Let's play it. It's called All I Want for Christmas by Vince Vance.
Vince Vance and the girl has a really good voice.
Okay, well, we'll be the judge of that. 590, your country headquarters. Oh, I've heard this.
Have you?
It's good.
Yeah.
Silver bells on string.
I love this. She's not Vince Vance.
No. I wrote a letter. I don't know who Vince Vance is.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
I will ask for just one thing.
Oh, I love this.
I don't need sleigh rides.
Which is I'm downloading it right now to my phone.
Speaking
of singing,
don't talk over the song.
Oh, sorry.
All I want for Christmas is you. I don't need expensive things. They don't matter to me.
Marv, you nailed it, buddy.
Yeah.
I love this song. And I don't like a lot of come along lately Christmas songs, ones from the last 10 years. Like I can't, my daughter loves that Mariah Carey. All I want for Christmas. I can't stand that song. And I can't stand that Beatles song either. So this is Christmas. I don't like that.
How about the Eagles? Please Come Home for Christmas.
Okay, I go with that.
Yeah, that's
one of my all-time favorites is Karen Carpenter, Merry Christmas, Darling. That's the most beautiful Christmas song ever.
Yeah, her voice is awesome.
Somebody sent me an email, made a very good point. They say, you know, why? And I've talked about this in the past years. Why do we not play certain songs at Christmas that are not Christmas songs? I'll give you some examples.
Okay.
Winter Wonderland. It's about snow and sleigh bells ring. Are you in the lane? Always glistening. Beautiful sight. We're happy walking in Winter Wonderland. It's not a thing in there about Christmas. Jingle Bells is not about Christmas. It's about snow and a sleigh ride.
Typically at times of the year, like, you know, that's when it snows and, you know, everybody's got that bundled up, the tinsel on the trees and everything.
But we could play them through the cold weather. They don't have to be Christmas songs. There's nothing about them that says Christmas.
Don't you need snow for a sleigh to move, though?
Yes,
there are sleighs with wheels on them. Now, that to me is not a real sleigh. I bet nobody in here has ever ridden a sleigh.
Never.
Isn't that interesting? Every year we all sing these songs about something we can't relate to. I have, as a kid, once gotten in a sleigh with a horse, and it was fun. It was a blast. But most people have never been on a sleigh, and I haven't been on one since. because we don't live in the part of the country where people would have a sleigh.
Where would they even have a sleigh? I mean,
oh, they're around.
A cotton buggy, sure.
No, no, they're around. There was a guy, where was it? Somewhere in Illinois, when I lived in Illinois. And if there was snow on the ground, Christmas, he would dress as Santa, get in a sleigh, and he had like a couple of horses.
Yeah.
And he'd drive through neighborhoods with that sleigh. It was neat, man. But you're right. How many people have a sleigh?
Right.
Not many. Usually somebody out on a farm. And you can go out, and there are places where you can buy a sleigh ride. You could pay the farmer to hitch up the sleigh, and they'll take you for a ride.
Very cool.
Now, the other thing that it's more fall than winter that is so much fun, especially if you're dating or you're with a girl that you want to be with, is a hayride. Has anybody been on a hayride? You blank.
Yes.
It's better when it's cool, real cool, and you end up at a bonfire or something. Man, oh, man.
I'm going to make a note of this.
Hayride.
Let me tell you something. You want to get lucky? Get a girl, take her on a hayride in the fall. Okay. Like October, cool. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I still have vivid memories of getting some good feels. I do.
Doing it for the purpose of keeping her warm,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
She had on a sweater. I can still see it. It was a sweater. I mean, sweatshirt, like a Mizzou kind of sweatshirt. And we're under blankets, and there's hay, and I just kind of. Got a couple of honks. Good feet. Oh, it was great.
Couple squeezes.
Oh, my goodness, it was great. You know, one of the things that I miss, and I think everybody misses, you a little older, not you yet, Lyman, because you can still do it. Mm-hmm. Dating at Christmas is like the hottest, most romantic, magical thing there is. It's unbelievable. If you're dating at Christmas.
I don't know, man. I think times have changed there. So right now it's kind of hit or miss.
You told a story yesterday about dating during Christmas, during a birthday.
That story was that I dumped the woman who's now my wife because they didn't want to buy presents. I dumped her at prom. I dumped her at her birthday, and I dumped her at Christmas. And it was horrible. It was a horrible thing to do. But I felt kind of cool doing it, like I'm kind of a macho dumper.
Were you a face-to-face dumper or a handwriting dumper?
No, I was just didn't show up.
Telephone dumper.
Christmas, I'm nowhere to be found.
You're the one who started the ghosting thing.
The ghost dumper.
I could have been. But I just didn't call her. I didn't go by the house. And then when Christmas was over, no more pressure to buy a gift. I showed up.
Oh, wow. Just knock on the door and say, hey, what's up?
Yeah, or I'd call her. And she said something like, well, you know, where have you been? I was busy. Well, I was always busy when I had to buy a gift. Prom. You know, I was busy. And I'm surprised she even stuck around.
Wow.
That was cruel.
Wow.
Now, you do that this day and age, you get a Molotov cocktail thrown through
and
your
restraining
window.
Order.
Yeah.
A lawsuit.
Oh man.
I have such great memory. There was a girl, Kathy, Belleville, Illinois. I went into Blankert's Jewelers, which I think is still in Belleville, and bought. You got to remember something. I made the $3 and something an hour. I worked two jobs. I had no money. I paid $40 for a necklace for her.
Wow.
It was onyx, that black with a little bitty diamond in the middle. And when I gave her that for Christmas, I was locked in, buddy. I mean, no guy had ever given her. Fast forward, I called her about 10 years ago. I just was sitting around thinking. Ever do that? Like, I wonder whatever happened. Now, with Facebook, it's easier, but this was 10, 15 years. I called her dad, and he was still alive.
Wow.
And I said, where is Kat? And he told me, and he gave me her number, and I called her. And I said, do you remember? This is so, I'm going to get chills. I said, do you remember the onyx necklace? She said, I still wear it.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Once they've had a little dose of me, buddy.
Carrying the torch.
Yeah.
All these years.
And I remember when I gave it to her, she said, I will never take this off. It's possible she has worn it 24 hours a day.
And her neck's green.
I got to ask.
It's not green. It was a good necklace. It was good gold.
The journalist in me, the investigative reporter in me, has to ask the following follow-up questions to that. A, that night, yay or nay?
No, nay. Okay. I didn't do that because I was Christian, Southern upbringing, straight. What? I would never do that with a girl.
Second question. How long did that last after you gave her the necklace?
8 months or a year. My mother blew it up.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, wait.
Do tell.
Please.
Well, this girl, this girl had been in a horrible car accident when she was like 17, mm-hmm. and she broke her back. And she had a couple little scars, and she cut her head on the dashboard, so she had, if you have to pull her hair back, she'd see a little scar. My mother was a cruel person, and my mother knew I was crazy about this girl. And my mother said to me, she said, well, it looks like things with you and Kathy are getting a little serious. I said, yeah, I really like her. She says, well, I hope you're going to like pushing her around in the wheelchair the rest of her life, because you know she'll probably be paralyzed. Oh, that's what she said to me.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I did it. I knew then my mother will ever accept her because she thinks she's going to be a vegetable or something. And by the way, she didn't end up in a wheelchair. When I finally reconnected with her, I asked her what she was doing. She was running some massive electronic company.
Hang on a second. Did you dump her right after this accident that she had because your mom told her she was going to be a vegetable?
No, but I dumped her because I knew it would never work. Because I knew once my mom... But see, the problem was... Some moms, no girl is ever good enough for their son, no matter who you are.
I know.
My mother couldn't stand my wife, who's my wife, she couldn't stand her.
There have been several times where I've introduced my mother to a couple of ones, and I can just tell straight away.
You can tell
in the eyes.
She's
like,
going, no.
This ain't going to work.
Now, flip it, though. Did your mom want you to be with a girl that you couldn't stand? Was there one that she was pushing you toward that you didn't have?
No, there really wasn't. But I introduced my mother to very few girls. Every one she found immediately something wrong with. Here's it. Remember the cheerleader I told you about, the blind date?
Yeah.
Cute as a button cheerleader. I took her to the house just briefly to meet my parents. The next day, I said, hey, how did you like? And I mentioned her name. My mother says her teeth are crooked. That's all she said. Her teeth are crooked.
Wow.
She couldn't see beyond her crooked teeth. I should have said, yeah, but they don't cut into me and cut me when she gives me a Monica. I should have, but because she never did that.
Wow.
But that would, if I'd said that, my mother would have passed out. She'd have passed out.
Wow.
Can I tell you real quickly something my mother said? My mother and I didn't get along at all.
But
my mother was a very mean. She was judgmental. She didn't like it. Everybody had, it's her way or the highway. You're going to hell. You're going to heaven. But when the Monica thing happened with Bill, we were visiting them in Tennessee, and it was on the news. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned on the air about oral sex.
Yep.
And here's what my mother said. Here's how Southern, backward, ignorant. She said, well, that girl's queer. And I said, what? What? She said, she's queer. I said, why would you say that? She said, look what she did to him. That's what queers do.
Oh, my God.
She said that. I'm telling you, folks, there are people. Great. Go down south. Go to the deep south.
Limey, Dan, all I can say is this explains a lot.
Wow. It does. I'm messed up.
I am messed up
because of that stuff. I am. I admit it. All right, Dan Buffa is going to come in after the news at 4 o'clk, and we're going to talk about movies. I'll talk a little bit about The Mule. I saw it with Clint Eastwood. I saved most of my commentary till he comes in today. He's in the green room right now, having fish nibble the dead skin off his feet. Randy flew this thing in from Asia. It's a special tank, a special fish. It's unbelievable. So when he comes out after the news, we'll kick around some TV and movie stuff. So I would stay. By the way, we've lately decided we'll take your input. If you have a suggestion for the holidays, a movie to go to, something to watch on TV, please feel free to include it. I have a dental appointment in 2 days. Thursday, I will be in the chair at Ballast Dental Care, right before this show. Am I nervous? No. Am I scared? No. Am I thinking about canceling it because I'm anxious? No. Am I looking forward to it? Yes, I am. What? Look forward to a dental appointment? Yes, I am. I've gone there for 45 years. I'm as comfortable sitting in the chair at Ballast Dental Care as you are in your recliner in your living room about to watch a movie. I'm not kidding. I'm looking forward to seeing Mary and Lisa and Tricia. Notice these are all women. And, of course, Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe. Ballast Dental Care, please join me. If you hate going to the dentist, then you've never been to this place. Make your first appointment. Go to the website. Call them. Tell them you're AM and the PM, too. Ballast Dental Care, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Tim Woodburn has the news, and after that, Dan Buffo will join us. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts.
The White House isn't saying much about today's delay in sentencing for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the White House wishes Flynn well. Echoing President Trump, Sanders suggests that Flynn was duped by FBI agents.
What we do know that was inappropriate by own self-admittance of James Comey is that the FBI broke standard protocol in the way that they came in and ambushed General Flynn.
Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to FBI agents about contacts with a top Russian official during the presidential transition. A federal judge has delayed Flynn's sentencing, which will be revisited in March. Actor and director Penny